It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. Marshawn Lynch now owns part of a soccer team. At 2:30, why do April 16th and 17th matter? Two of the best recess games ever. And in mere minutes, we're chatting with MLS Commissioner Don Garber ahead of Austin FC's first game. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number three, and let's get right into this. It's history coming tomorrow. First game, 5 o'clock on Big Fox, is Austin at L.A. And last week or so ago, it all blends together. It feels like 9 months has gone by in a week. But a little while ago, we got a chance to talk to the MLS Commissioner, Trey, and got into a lot of stuff with him.
That's right. Let's go to the Vaqueros hotline now and welcome MLS Commissioner Don Garber to the show. He was in town last week to check out the new digs for Austin FC and help promote the start of the season, and he's nice enough to join us for a few minutes. Don, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. It's great to be down here. You know, there's been so many things that haven't been great in 2020, but this is one of the great days in 2021.
No doubt about that. And I guess you just got your first walk through the new stadium. What are your initial thoughts on what you saw over on the north side of Austin?
Well, it really represents everything that we hoped it would. You know, it's beautifully designed. It's got terrific fan amenities to it. It's very smart and thoughtful in how it came together. Very open, sort of feels like you're in your backyard, which I know is such a cool part of Austin's character. But this backyard, it won't just be a great, you know, bar and great food. It'll also have some great MLS soccer.
Talking with MLS Commissioner Don Garber. And Don, in terms of any other stadiums in the MLS, for fans that are familiar with the league, is there anything that this stadium is patterned after? Are there other stadiums where, you know, that maybe they tried to get some aspects of in Austin?
You know, it's a really good question. I mean, it has the same designer as our LAFC stadium in Los Angeles. But, you know, what I think is so smart in how the ownership and staff helped to design the stadium is it really represents the city of Austin and what Austin means to all of its citizens. And that's what great stadiums do. You know, you want them just not to be, you know, a big bowl that has, you know, an opportunity and showcase, you know, great competition on the field, but also have design and experiences and fan engagement that connects, you know, the team and its stadium with what matters in the community. And they did a really good job in that better than I had expected. So hats off to them.
You've talked a lot about why Austin made sense for an MLS franchise. It has a young population. It has a population that is hip to the times. Obviously, a boom town as well, with the number of people seemingly moving in to this city on a daily basis. What makes Austin unique, though, versus the other 26 cities that house Major League franchises?
Well, you just gave me a great answer to your question. I mean, I think you laid it out perfectly. You know, Austin has always been viewed by anybody in our country as this really cool and special, culturally relevant city on the rise. And that's kind of how we like to think of Major League Soccer. You know, we're a league for a new America. Demographically, our fans are very different than other fan bases in the other professional leagues. You know, we have a very digital first audience that, you know, shares and watches their content via digital means more so than as a percentage than other sports leagues do. There's a great food culture here. And, you know, when you think about soccer or global football, you know, it's about food, it's about family, it's about shared experiences. And that's really Austin's character as well. So, you know, it really is a perfect marriage.
Don, in terms of what you've seen with Austin FC, you've obviously been commissioner for the addition of a lot of teams, and you just mentioned how digital the fan base is and how interactive they are. Talk about the reaction that you've seen since the announcement, since the groundbreaking of the stadium, and now we're closing in on the start of the season and ultimately that first home game. Has the reaction from Austin been what you guys wanted?
It has been what we wanted, and frankly, it succeeded. You know, there's nothing better than over-delivering on your promises, right? I remember my first conversations with Mayor Adler and other city leaders, and group of corporate leaders that came together many years ago, even before we were thinking about Austin FC and the team in its current iteration. And, they just said, this is the perfect market for you guys. You know, we don't have a Division I professional major league here in town. We obviously have a very, very passionate supporter fan base for UT. But we're ready. And what have they done? We have, sold out all our season tickets. You got 14,000 season ticket people on a second season ticket waiting list. We over-delivered on the corporate support with Q2 and with Yeti. I'm actually on my way to the Yeti flagship store as we speak. Mm. A great jersey sponsor and a great brand marriage for this club and even for Major League Soccer. By the way, I'm a big outdoor guy, so I brought my credit card. I'm going to shop heavily at the Yeti store.
Hey, speaking of the season ticket holders, the home opener obviously is not until June. Considering what happened in Arlington just a couple of days ago with the Rangers opening a new stadium with 100% capacity, and considering that COVID seems to be trending in the right direction, are you cautiously optimistic that Austin FC might be able to welcome 100% fan capacity for that season opener, for that home opener?
Well, we're doing this very thoughtfully, and we don't have to make that decision today. They'll make that decision weeks from now or sometime in May. Listen, it's good to be a follower here as opposed to a leader and see how it all plays out, throughout the state of Texas and frankly throughout the rest of the country. I'm certainly hopeful that we could have as many fans as possible here and in Houston and Dallas, and that we have two teams in Florida which has lifted restrictions similar to the way they've done in Texas, and we look forward to seeing a lot of fans in those states. But listen, I'm an optimist by nature, and as difficult as COVID-19 was for all of pro sports and for our league, I just am hopeful that we have a fully vaccinated population and people are comfortable getting back to a semblance of normalcy and getting back into stores and restaurants and getting back to pro sports venues and college sports venues.
What do you think you'll need to see to feel comfortable signing off on this idea that Austin FC might be able to open with 100% capacity?
That's a great question, and I don't have a specific answer to that. It's a little bit of dodging the timing of it because we've got work to do as we launch our season on the 17th to see how things are rolling out across the country. But, you want to see a fully supported relationship with the health community here in the state, and you want to see people feeling comfortable about getting back to some semblance of normalcy and attending events, and you want to see the continued reduction in positives here as we are seeing here in this part of Texas and throughout the state. All those things play very well for what we hope to see in order to make that decision.
Talking with MLS Commissioner Don Garber. And Don, today on the way into work, I could see the stadium, and you drive that certain way on 183, and it's a beautiful shot. For the people that are listening right now, they're soccer fans, maybe their kids have been in soccer, they've been in soccer, they've heard about it, but they're not fully committed or they haven't gotten that ticket yet. What would you tell them about MLS coming to town? You've seen a lot of growth in the sport and a lot of growth in the league. You always knew this was a town you thought would work. Tell them about the MLS and what they're going to get if they go to Q2.
Let's start with, there's an enormous fan base here generally. Austin, I don't know if you know this, but Austin trends at the highest of any city in the country on watching soccer on television, MLS soccer, women's soccer, World Cup soccer. So we have a built-in fan base. But what you really want are people to really believe in this club and what those two oaks mean to them and how this club is connected in the community. You're going to go into a stadium that's going to be one of the great new buildings in any sport and anywhere in the world, and you're going to see an environment that's going to be just entirely unprecedented. A supporter section where you're really, really close to the play. You're going to see noise and drums and music in ways that you don't see in other sporting venues, particularly here in town. It's going to be a life experience. And when we built a new stadium in Kansas City for what a team called Sporting Kansas City, you had a fan base that wasn't as mature and wasn't necessarily as connected with the club. And you put them in a state-of-the-art facility, and that team has sold out every game since that new building has and built many years ago. So it's going to be really cool.
I imagine you can envision Austin FC fans marching from a bar or a restaurant in that domain area down to the stadium too, correct?
Yeah, for sure. And you're going to see Houston Dynamo fans and FC Dallas fans, you know, driving across the state to try to come to Austin as well. That's one thing that, you know, your first question, you know, you don't see that quite as much in the other sports. You might see it during the playoffs or during, you know, the championship games, but you know, you're going to see people traveling across the state to support their local club and have them hopefully get that big push against Austin FC. And you're going to see Austin fans traveling to Houston and Dallas. And we see this, you know, throughout our league, and it's really cool, really, really cool.
All right, Matthew McConaughey is not only the unofficial mayor of Austin and unofficial mayor of the University of Texas, he is also part owner of Austin FC. You actually were a part of a discussion with Matthew during South by Southwest this year. Matthew is obviously an ideas guy. Has he given you any ideas that you are now considering for the MLS?
Yeah, you know, listen, what people here in Austin know Matthew well, but, you know, the general population thinks of him as this, you know, Oscar-winning actor. Matthew's a really, really smart, creative guy who understands brands and understands culture, as we all know here in town. And, you know, Matthew's got an idea in it. A lot of it is about the community and how this team could be connected in the community and mean something from day one. A lot of it was about the brand. I mean, he was involved in creating this brand name, about creating the logo, about creating the colors, and all those things sort of came out of this very, very fertile and open creative mind. And I've been really, really impressed with him. And, you know, I'm excited about when you have an owner that's a celebrity, you know, to not just lend their name to a project, not just put some money into it because it's a good investment, but actually put their time and effort and creativity behind it. And that's what he's done. I really enjoyed talking to him. Matthew's a really great guy.
Well, it's impressive also looking at your resume, taking over the league in 1999 and all the different things you've done in that time, from television rights to expanding the league. And I didn't realize that you would actually come over to the MLS from the NFL. You were the director of marketing before you became the league's senior vice president of business development. What were you able to bring from the NFL and apply pretty immediately to MLS that has allowed this league to thrive so many years later?
Well, you know, it's three things, right? And the last job I had there is I launched their international division, and I tell this great story about when we had a league in Europe, you know, trying to teach people about the game of gridiron football that they call in Europe, or American football they call it around the world. And, you know, it was really hard. And they've done a really great job with the sort of the expansion and the exposure of NFL football and throughout Europe and Asia and South America, certainly in Mexico, with regular season games being played. But back when I was doing it, you know, you had to translate the game into a culture where it wasn't, you know, it was considered quintessentially foreign. And I came into the soccer world where, you know, I didn't have to teach people about the sport. It already had a great history. The World Cup was popular in 94. The NASL had sort of set the stages for the pro game many, many years ago, particularly here in Texas. But as a marketing guy, you know, my job was to take the helmets off the players and, you know, put flags on kids to have them play the game without having to play tackle football. And that's antithetical here in Texas. But, you know, around the country, fewer and fewer people were playing the game that way. And now so many kids play, you know, flag football and touch football. And that was a big part of what my role was. And I came into MLS. It was a marketing challenge, but it also was an infrastructure challenge. We didn't have all but one stadium that was built in 98 in Columbus, the year before I joined. And today now, you know, over 20 new buildings, and all of them sort of connected into the community and cool buildings that represent, you know, the culture of a city. And, you know, listen, the sports marketing business is not much different in this sport than it is in other sports. You know, there's a whole cottage industry of people learning how to market and brand and communicate and broadcast in new and unique ways things that will have people care about your sport and your players and your team. And that's kind of what I've been doing the last 22 years.
Well, Don,
like yesterday.
Don, you've been killing it in that time, too. I mean, you are annually recognized as one of the top sports execs in America and around the world. And I can't help myself but to ask highly successful people this question, because success always involves failure, because failure means that you are not only going through life's trials and tribulations, but you're also learning lessons throughout that process as well. So is your biggest quote-unquote failure trying to spread football internationally, considering that most everybody else was so focused on soccer at that point in time? And if so, what was that valuable lesson that you learned from that experience?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, you can't move forward unless you look backwards in time and understand both the challenges and the trials and tribulations and the failures of the past, so that you don't make the same, you know, mistakes over and over again. You know, I think in my NFL days, I was a young guy, and there was so much support around you, and you had so much leverage. I mean, think of where the NFL is today with the record media deals just from a few weeks ago, a huge data deal that they just did the other day, and, you know, Super Bowl records, you know, it's ubiquitous. It's sort of like, you know, your family and the church, so to speak. So I remember Paul Tagliabue telling me when I left, you're going to see what life is like without leverage. And I think without having the power of a strong brand behind you, you've got to be more creative. You've got to be more innovative. You've got to take risks. You have to think about developing ideas outside the box. You know, we went through my first couple of years where we folded a couple of teams. We had one owner own multiple teams. And, you know, you just got to keep your head down and keep focused and have faith in the idea, and this idea that America and Canada deserve, you know, a top flight professional soccer league. And we've stayed focused on that. And we stayed focused on that during 2020, which was not easy. And as long as you have that focus, you know, you'll be successful, even if you get knocked around a bit. But that's what makes it so much sweeter when you come out of a great stadium, you know, tour today. And I remember that being a piece of dirt and an idea just a couple of years ago. So what could be better than that?
I love the idea of taking calculated risks. Is there a collective calculated risk that the league is taking right now, other than obviously expanding into a market like Austin?
Yeah, I would say, listen, the Austin team was not that risky, right? It, you know, that the fact that we were able to get the right owner and get Mayor Adler and his political, you know, leaders supportive, and you got a great sponsors, you know, Q2 and Yeti, getting them to believe, you know, was not easy. But, you know, I wouldn't say that that's the biggest challenge that that we have. I think when I think back at what those challenges are, it's trying to, you know, to break through, you know, particularly in the state of Texas, where you have traditional sports that have such deep cultural history, you know, family legacies, and that sharing a special game or a special moment or a special experience with your family around the Thanksgiving table or around the Christmas table, or, you know, around what I love to say, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. You know, you remember the wins as much as you remember the losses. And without having a deep history, you've got to create all of that without having, you know, legacy behind you. And someday somebody will look back and say, I'm not going to be doing this forever. And they'll look back at these years as being the formative foundational years, and they'll be able to ride the next generation, the 2.0 of MLS. We'll have a World Cup here in 2026, and I'm sure we've got at least two cities that are looking to be, you know, World Cup hosting cities. There's going to be an enormous ramp up in our league and in the women's game and in the international game to try to build on all of that excitement for the world's biggest sporting event. You're going to get governments, state and local governments, and federal government involved in ensuring that America and Canada and Mexico are ready for the World Cup. And all that is going to be perhaps to finish this, the leverage that we didn't have in the past, but maybe that will be the leverage that we'll have to be able to build this league into being one of the top leagues in the world.
Very well said. And last question, Don. You started this conversation off by talking about the great food here in Austin. One of the reasons why I am excited to visit Q2, on top of the soccer, of course, and how it looks like a really cool stadium, is getting to grub on some Valentina's barbecue in the process. Have you had the opportunity to taste some of their brisket just yet?
You know, not yet. You know, I've been here a lot, and it's shameful that I can't list the three or four places that I've been to. I will say, I have been to Valentina's. I haven't been here there recently. It's probably been 2 years, but I know that it's. I'm a foodie by heart, and this is such a foodie town. So what could be better, right? And I know there's going to be a lot of really cool, you know, things going on there. I mean, they've got a great, great setup. You know, I think it's called the Austin City Market. It's really cool.
He is MLS Commissioner Don Garber. He has been in town to help kick off the inauguration of Austin FC. Commish, congratulations on getting this whole thing going. This town is really excited about it, and I know you guys are as well.
Great. Thank you, and thanks for spending the time with us. Great interview. I had fun.
Oh, my God. The greatness of the detail at the end of you calling him Commish. I just really got to experience that one in organic time. That was wonderfully well done. He was trying to get away. He was trying to answer. He thought, I gave him a perfect answer. And you kept coming back with the Valentinas, and then you called him Commish at the end.
You know what we didn't do, Chad?
Solid.
We didn't go over the 20 minutes that we were promised.
Nope.
We were right there, though.
No, we did not. And I will say this as a shout-out to Valentinas. I don't dream about tacos. However, I have a vivid memory of the very first time I had Valentina's because you went to get it for me. We were over there at Moon Tower doing shows.
Oh, it was so easy to stop there.
I can still remember the moment that I took the first bite out of that taco. Unbelievable.
Well, and they have this breakfast taco that's supposed to be out of this world, too. I tried to stop by there a couple of times. There's always a line, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they'll be serving the breakfast tacos as a part of the game day fair over at Q2.
That's so cool, man.
Regardless, I still have to get over to the trailer location off of South Man Shack, just past Moon Tower. That's where they are now, to try that at some point, because the barbecue on its own is phenomenal.
It is so good. All right, MLS cranking up Austin style tomorrow. They're out in LA to start the season. Make your plans if you want to get to the new house when they open it up. June 19th is the first home game, but go find the schedule. You'll figure out all those home opportunities that you'll have throughout the summer. All right, coming up, it's April 16th. We'll tell you why it matters, including those games you know you love to play back in elementary school. We should play more of them now. We'll tell you what they are on the horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
New music on a Friday. What do you got, Trey?
This is Emily Wolfe's new one. It's called Something Better. This does not sound, it sounds like her with the voice, but she's normally going much heavier with a really good bluesy sounding guitar.
Interesting.
And that is much more synth driven, obviously. So I'll be curious to hear what the rest of this new album sounds like when it releases. Tom said it comes out in May or June.
June, I think.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll be interested to hear the rest of it in June. Justine and I have been big fans of her stuff in the past, in large part thanks to our friend Tom, who is a regular contributor on the text line.
It's a good test of music snobbery. Do we allow the artist to mess around? That's a real big question for music fans sometimes. Do you allow them to kind of mess around with different ideas?
Yeah, but you have to be careful.
I know. I'm with you. No, I'm totally with you, because you start to expect something from them, and then that's the trap. And I don't know if it's a good or bad. It just is.
Mumford & Sons tried way too hard with electric guitars at some point.
Ooh, that's a bad idea.
It was a bad idea.
Yeah. I thought Black Keys got too poppy. I thought the Black Keys went into a weird area, and it's like, I don't like it as much now.
They tried to escape that Black Keys sound, and all of a sudden it didn't have the catchiness.
I don't know if that's fair or not. It's just kind of the way it was. All right, let's get into April 16th and why it matters. Let's go.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Trey, the overall, I'm going to just start with the ending here. I'm going to challenge you to a game of Foursquare. Now, we're going to back up and talk about National Foursquare Day. Because today, Foursquare gets its love. We should be playing it more. There should be tournaments. And you and I should play. And how long is a TikTok video? It's a minute or less. I don't know if that's
a minute, yeah.
Maybe it has to go farther than that. Maybe we'll play an extended game and put it on YouTube. But I remember Foursquare from sixth grade. It came into my life, and then it was gone.
Mm.
It was like a one-hit wonder. I loved it. I really dug Foursquare. It wasn't like too violent. Nobody got really hurt.
Well, you weren't playing Foursquare at Blanton Elementary then.
Well, you didn't hit people with the ball in Foursquare, right? That was all about the ball bouncing somewhere. You had to. That was strategic, wasn't it?
Yeah, the ball bounces, and you either have to catch it, or if it hits you, you're out.
I thought that was dodgeball.
Dodgeball is a different... I mean, dodgeball has some of the same things in it, but dodgeball... What you're trying to do with Foursquare is bounce the ball into a person's square and have them not catch it right afterwards.
Yeah, well, they're not supposed to catch it. They're supposed to hit it back into another square, right?
No, you catch it, and then you try and...
Oh, maybe I'm not remembering this game properly.
Maybe I played the faulty version of it at Blanton Elementary.
I don't know.
Remember how there was the typewriter move where you could walk up right up to the edge of somebody else's square and just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Just typewriter it.
I see what's going on here. I think you played a brand of Foursquare where you allowed some dodgeball rules. We did not allow that. We almost played it with volleyball rules because you're not allowed to catch the ball in volleyball. Ours was it bounced in your square, then you had to hit that ball after it bounced. Couldn't bounce twice. After your first bounce, you have to then bat the ball into somebody else's square. Otherwise, you lose a point or whatever it was, or you're out. That's how we played it.
All right, you know what? You're right about this, because I'm looking at the rules right now on the internet, which certainly wouldn't lie to me, and you are supposed to try and hit the ball back at the other person.
Yeah.
So maybe that's how we played it at Blanton, and I've just forgotten the rules of Foursquare.
Because if you could get it to bounce right at their feet, that's really tough to deal with. Generally, you'd get the point that way.
That's why I thought, you are trying to throw it at their feet, but they are having to try to catch it or dodge it altogether.
Yeah, but they're trying to get themselves where they could then hit the ball. Today's also kickball day, apparently.
Yes.
How much kickball were you into as a kid?
Well, I'm not even sure that I know how to play kickball at this point, Chad, but I dug kickball as a kid. I mean, I think that those two, if you're talking about recess / PE games, Foursquare.
Yeah.
Kickball, tetherball, and dodgeball, those are the four for me.
I'm not big on tetherball, but the three that you could play with the big red rubber ball, I'm all about those games.
Yeah.
Kickball was great because that had a very co-ed feel to it. Anybody can play kickball. Plus, on the day we're talking soccer, my body does not respond well to soccer skills. My legs can take me from point A to point B,
mm-hmm.
and we can go fast and slow, but they can't do all the soccer stuff. I'm amazed by that skill set. But kickball I can handle because it's one swing, right? Mm-hmm. I can at least kick the ball and then I take off.
Yeah.
So I liked kickball. We played a lot of that in elementary school.
So they brought that back for adults in rec leagues, and I tried to play kickball at one point.
Did it get vicious?
Just thinking that you could kick the you-know-what out of that because they use those big...
The red ball.
Red rubber balls.
Yeah.
And not as easy as you would assume.
You don't remember it being that tough?
It was, I made okay contact, and I got a hit. I think I got a double or something, but I thought I could just kick the ball to the street two blocks away, and that was not the case.
And then dodgeball is the king of all these games for me. It's the best one of all.
Dodgeball, yeah, no question.
It's just phenomenal. We should all play more dodgeball.
Well, I feel like PE... The PE teacher, at least in my elementary school, she would use that as the nuclear option. So it was the rainy day option or an option where she just didn't have anything good enough planned. So she's like, screw it. Let's play dodgeball. I should have just gone dodgeball every day. The point of PE was to get us to run around and be physically active, except when we were having to do the, where they're pinching your fat with the calipers and making you do sit-ups and pull-ups and making you test what your flexibility was reaching forward with that wooden box.
Did you play dodgeball with anybody that you still remember their name to this day, that you wanted them on your team, and if they were opposite you, you knew you were in trouble? Do you still remember the names? Because I have one name that is burned in my brain as the best dodgeball player I was ever on a court with.
Who?
Terrence Cooks.
Okay.
You now have him as a linebacker.
Yeah.
The kid out of, was it Lancaster? Is that where that kid came from?
Sure.
Terrence Cooks was one of the most athletic guys in our school growing up or whatever. And in sixth grade, he had developed past already started developing when a lot of us had not. Man, TC could play dodgeball. Golly, he was good.
We didn't have any crazy athleticism in our elementary school. And I realized that maybe not in that moment necessarily, but as we moved on to junior high, And none of the kids from Blanton Elementary went on to star in any sport in junior high at Dan F. Long.
I once watched a 5-on-1 game where TC was the one and he won the game.
Mm.
He ended a 5-on-1. It was impressive.
He went the movie Dodgeball.
He really did. He went Peter LaFleur.
Yeah.
I mean, he did. He turned the whole thing. And we didn't even have those rules about when you caught it, somebody else could come back in. We didn't play that way.
Yeah.
We just played.
You catch it, the person's out. I thought that was a weak rule that they instituted.
Yeah,
in that
we didn't
movie.
Allow you to bring anything back. So TC was out there by himself, mm-hmm. and we all just had to, you know, root him on, mm-hmm. and it was awesome. He came back and took that out. Dodgeball, kickball, foursquare, the elementary school games that you love. Let us know what your favorites are. Today, they all get a national day. Also, Eggs Benedict, which is not good to do right after dodgeball.
No.
But I do enjoy the
Especially
Eggs Benedict.
Especially that Monday hollandaise.
Absolutely. All right, coming up, stems and seeds. Before we get out of here, it will include some good news if you're an NBA fan. Maybe two bits of good news if you're an NBA fan. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Out the door. What do you got, Trey?
Funny enough, Chad, New Music Friday on a Friday does include the Black Keys this week.
Ah.
This is actually a good enough slate that we're going to have to carry this one over to Monday.
Okay.
Their new song is Crawling King Snake.
I like it.
Yeah, it sounded decent.
Yeah, sounds good. Texter says, my wife's a PE teacher in EISD, and her kids love scooter soccer.
Scooter soccer? Is that what the little square that's on wheels?
Maybe, yeah. And we get the ball and then
I'm assuming that they're probably riding scooters around.
Yeah, you're scooting around and then playing soccer. I guess you could do that. Almost like polo, but you're doing like an indoor polo. Instead of horses, you have scooters.
Okay.
I'm assuming that's what that is.
Yeah, and instead of a stick, you're using your foot.
Yeah, sure. That sounds fun.
Okay.
We could do that.
Yeah.
National Elementary School Game Day, so to speak. It's National Kickball and Foursquare Day. So we were talking about all those kinds of games and Trey and I are going to try to think about playing Foursquare. We just got to find a place to play Foursquare. And then we need to clarify that you know the rules. Because if you play the way you think of playing and I play the way I think of playing, you're going to dominate me at Foursquare.
Well, we need two other people also. Foursquare is a game that starts with four people,
correct?
Ah,
you, me, BK, Kevin, and then we'll have Rod and Craig and everybody else ready to check in. Can you sub into Foursquare? I forget how it works.
Sub into Foursquare?
No.
I am not a good resource for the rules of Foursquare. I royally botched it last segment.
We got to figure out exactly.
But I don't think you can sub in.
All right. Tell you what, let's get into some stems and seeds. We have ownership updates around sports. Here we go.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. How about this one out of basketball? Dwayne Wade has bought an ownership stake in the Utah Jazz. Kind of a trend we're seeing around basketball. Obviously, Michael Jordan with Charlotte and guys like Magic and Shaq and others have had a stake in some teams. It's now Utah for Dwayne Wade. Also, Trey, how about this? We've been talking soccer all day with Austin FC's first game tomorrow. Former NFL star Marshawn Lynch has joined the ownership group of the Oakland Roots. What a great name for a team in the USL. Well played, Oakland. The Oakland Roots are in the USL, and he is now a part of their ownership group. Marshawn Lynch, I'd go watch a soccer game. Soccer match with Marshawn Lynch.
Can we not call soccer matches games?
I think they go with matches.
Oh, give me a break.
I think that's right. Soccer people, correct me if I'm wrong. I think they're matches.
Stop treating yourself so seriously if we can't call it a freaking game.
Well, you know, some people are sensitive. I'm a tennis fan.
I'm watching the Austin FC game tomorrow, guy.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
And I'm only watching it because I'm able to call it a game.
Okay. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get you there.
Wow, that was very bitter.
It really was, yeah. So Marshawn Lynch will be a part of the USL. Elsewhere in the NBA, Anthony Davis has been cleared to practice. That could be good news. He's been out 27 games for the Lakers. They are 13-14 without him. Does that sound like it mattered? Yeah, kind of.
Just a little bit.
13-14. They've gone from a 2 seed to a 5 seed, Trey.
Whoa.
That's how much it's mattered.
Okay.
They are the 5 seed in the West, so you could have a really dangerous 5 seed that gets Anthony Davis and LeBron back. And oh, by the way, they're the defending champs.
You said LeBron back? Has he been hurt too?
LeBron's been out as well.
Oh.
But they don't have him quite set on a schedule. Davis has been cleared to practice. Mm. And so now they've gotten him where they're thinking within about 3 or 4 games he may be playing.
Okay.
So keep your eyes peeled on that one. Also, get ready for Texas baseball tonight. They're playing ACU. I cannot guarantee you that the Longhorns will win these games. I can guarantee you that ACU basketball coach is nowhere near the series. He is not coming to town because he just took the job at UTEP. You see that?
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. So, Longhorn fans, you shouldn't have to worry about that. Ty Madden's on the hill. You get your normal Tristan Stevens tomorrow. Sunday, it is Kubacek on the hill, 6:15 pregame tonight.
So that ACU coach had smack-talked Chris Beard about Texas helping ACU open up a new arena. I guess that's not happening now.
Did he really?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was friendly. He and Beard are boys.
Oh, I see, okay.
Some would suggest that Beard helped him with the scouting of Texas before their upset win in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, I see. But so now it'll be UTEP. Now if he's still at UTEP, he'll say, hey, we'll come and help you open your new building.
Maybe so. I mean, we play UTEP in every other sport possible.
And what's the good news there? It's in the system.
Yes, that's 20, right.
It's one of your own.
That's right.
Right? Yeah.
And you probably still don't have to go to El Paso.
And you should not have to do that. That's college basketball. No, don't do what Tom Penders did back in the day where he would agree to go play at like A&M Corpus Christi and stuff. No, coach, you never have to play that game. Ever in their barn. That is insanity. Don't ever do that. Have a good weekend, man. Everybody
you
out
too.
There, Trey Elling, have a good weekend. All of you have a good one, whether you care about this Austin FC game or not. Enjoy the baseball for Texas. We're coming back on Monday, and we'll be a little closer to all the football stuff we're looking for. Triple option coming up next with RBKD. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. See you.